Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Chulin Daf Chav Gimel. We are holding actually towards the bottom, so it's seven lines from the bottom. Boy, Rabbi Zeira. Another question posed by Rabbi Zeira connecting to yesterday's question. So yesterday we spoke about an interim stage, a transitional stage regarding birds. So they started yellowing, but they haven't fully developed, so it's neither small nor is it big. It's somewhere in the middle. The question was, how do we define that stage? Is it a new entity? Or is it one or the other? We're just not sure whether it's considered young or old. And the question was regarding a fellow who promised, who pledged birds as a carbon. And the question is, if he brought all, you know, different types of options, can we say he's covered, or shall we say no? This transitional period is its own entity. It cannot be considered young or old. And that was the question we discussed yesterday. Here come two more questions regarding this type of issue, dealing with some sort of transitional entity. And the question is, how do we define it? Boy Rab Zeira. Ha'imar harei alai oilas behema. In this case, instead of pledging birds, he pledged an oila of a behema, animal carbon. And he left it up to himself. Mina ayil, mina kebis. I'll decide, I'll bring either a kebis or an ayil. So in the sheep family, we have two categories. We have the kebis, which is from birth until the year is up, until 12 months. And then he turns into an ayil when he reaches month 13. But in between 12 and 13, during that 12th month, sorry, during that 13th month, meaning past the birthday until he reaches a full 13 months, he's called a palgus. Palgus, some learn, is understood like plug gas, a half of a gas, half of a big one. He's not yet fully mature. He's not yet there. Almost, but not yet. So he's neither a kevis nor an ayil. And that's what he chose to bring, vehevi palgus. Mal, what's his status? Has he fulfilled his obligation or not? Now, had he said, I'm bringing a kevis, and he brings a palgus, you can't say he fulfilled his obligation. You don't know what a palgus, but here, he says, it's up to me. I'm going to bring one or the other, kevis or an ayil. So either way it works. And he brings a palgus, which is somewhere in the middle. So the question really is, how do we define palgus? Is palgus either a kevis or an ayil? Just we're not sure. To us, it's undefined, but really it's one or the other. So in this case, that it brings a palgus to account for his obligation, which is either kevis or ayil, he's covered. On the other hand, perhaps palgus is its own entity. This transitional state is neither here nor there. Now, he promised kevis or ayil. This is none. It's not kevis or ayil. Ma, what's the status? There's no question. According to Rabbi Yechanan, it doesn't work. Why? He holds it's its own entity. It's its own stage, its own entity. It's a new thing. It's a new breed. It's not. Where do we find Rabbi Yechanan speaking as such? Submission says if he brings a person who's meant to bring a carbon, and he brings a palgus, not our case where he left both options open. In a case where a person is meant to bring a kevis or an ayil, one and not the other, right? And he decided to bring a palgus. So first of all, maybe all of niske ayil. He brings along the sachen, the wine, etc., as is appropriate for an ayil, which is a larger quantity, a bigger amount than if it was to be a kevis. So he has to bump it up, has to upgrade. But ein oil le mizifchay, he hasn't really fulfilled his obligation because a palgus can't be applied, can't work, as though it's a kevis or an ayil. But Rabbi Yechanan, and he explained further, why is he even bringing the nesachim of an ayil? Oil ayil, in the discussion of nesachim, we have the word oil ayil is Rabbi says a palgus. The pasuk here is including the palgus to be regarded as an ayil regarding the nesachim. So clearly, the fact that there's a pasuk speaking about it indicates to us that palgus is a new breed, it's a new entity. Otherwise, why a pasuk? Why does the pasuk have to bother telling us? You should know that if you're not sure what it is, you have to bring the higher, larger amount of nesachim. Obviously, we're not sure. You go strict. You go up, right? Apparently, it's not a case of suffix. It's not a matter of uncertainty whether the palgus is a kevis, which needs a smaller amount of nesachim, or ayil, a larger amount is needed. He's in the middle. He's in no man's land, no animal's land. And hence the Torah has to tell you, look, he's treated like an ayil regarding nesach. So clearly, according to Rabbi Yechon, he's a bria. He's a new metzius, he's a new entity. And therefore, in our case, where he pledged either a kevis or an ayil, he can't fulfill it with a palgus. So that's clear. The question will be, kitiboylach, the question can still apply alibo according to the Bar Pata, who tells us, we turn to Amid Beis, the Amar who says like this, that regarding the fellow who brought a palgus, in that Mishnah there, the Amar Maisiu Masni, he has to bring Nesachim, right, the higher amount, but he conditions. Masni means a tenai, he has to make a condition. Because he has no pasuk to bump him up. Rather, circumstantially, he has to come with a bigger amount, just in case. But he has to condition it. What's the condition? He says, look, I'm not sure what this palgus is. Is he a keves? So then just a smaller amount of nesachim is needed, and the rest is just a donated, you know, donation. If in fact he's considered like a kanayel, okay, so here it is. Here's the big donation. Here's the big nesachim. So the question is, what about Pada, who holds that you condition, that you specify, that you stipulate, what do you stipulate? How many possibilities is he going to address? Is it only two? Either it's a keves or an ayil, or perhaps we have to entertain a third possibility as well, a third option. Maybe it's its own entity. Mi amrina, shall we say, ba'ayil of a keves masna. The stipulation only relates to the possibility that he's either an ayil or a keves. He doesn't stipulate. He doesn't entertain the option that perhaps it's its own bria, it's its own entity. Because really it's not. It's one or the other. So back to our story with the fellow pledged, Kevas or Ayil, I'm leaving it up to me. And it brings a palgus. He's yaitzei mimanam shach. Either way it's good. Either it's this or it's that. On the other hand, bibriya nami masna, perhaps, according to Apada, he has to stipulate the possibility, the option that perhaps it's its own entity. The Amar, he has to declare. When he brings in a Sachem, he says, look, maybe it's a third type of thing. It's a Bria. It's nor this, nor that. E Bria Hava. In fact, if this Palgus is considered its own creature, we have a Kulin Adava. So these Nesachim don't belong here. The Palgus doesn't have Nesachim. So it's completely donated. So basically, according to this approach, all agree. Rabbi Yechon for sure, even Bar Pada entertains the notion that perhaps a palgus is its own thing. So back to our story, you can't know that you have fulfilled your obligation. Take it with even unresolved. Take it literally means stand. Let it stand. Let it stand until it will be resolved. However, some of us bring the take who stands for Tishbi Aliyah Navi. It comes from Tishbi Aliyah. Tishbi Yitaritz. Tough yud kafa. Tishbi taritz kushyos vabayis. That's how the Rebbe used to teach us in Cheder. By Rab Zeira, here comes yet a third presentation, a question by Rab Zeira related to the same question, same type of thing. Something transitional, and how to relate to it. Ha'imar harei alai lach me toida menachamet. A person pledges to donate breads for a toida. We know that a carbon toida is an animal that comes along with 40 breads. 30 of which are matzah, 10 are considered chametz. So he's pledging 10 chametz bread for a toida. Harei alai lach mei toida ben chametz. Ben a matzah, or I'll bring them as matzah. I'll choose, I'll decide, it's up to me. Okay, I'm pledging 10 breads. Perhaps they'll be chametz, perhaps matzah. And what did he bring? Something in the middle. How do you get something between chametz and matzah? It's called seer. Vehevi seer, he brought seer. Mao, what happens now? Same type of question. Shall we consider seer as a new phenomenon, a new entity? Neither chametz nor matzah, so he hasn't really fulfilled any obligation. Or perhaps seer is just a suffix. It's a state of uncertainty. We're not sure how to treat it, how to label it. Is it categorized as chametz or matzah? But it is one or the other. So either way, he has fulfilled his obligation. So it's the same kind of idea. The yellow birds, the palgas animal, the seer, doe. Ma, what's the halacha here? Before we continue, let's just analyze what type of material did he show up with. Seer the man. Whose seer are we talking about? It actually brings the background here based on the Gemara and Psachim. Mishnah has a machlokes regarding the status of seer. So, according to Rameir, as soon as the dough whitens, it pales, it's called a chsifu panav, that's called seer. It's partially fermented. Even before you see any real, signs of... The next step is nizdak kekarni chagovim. They got full of lines like grasshopper, antennas. That's already more advanced. That's called legitimate chametz, and there's karas upon eating it. Regarding seer, which is the pale, whitened, over there it's not really chametz. Rather, if one eats it, he gets malchus. That's Rameir Shita. So pale is seer. Lines is true chametz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. First of all, he says hichsif upanav is nothing. That's perfectly matzah. It's not even partially developed chametz. Kikarni chagavim, when you have the lines, Chris, that is considered seer. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even seer, there's no malchus on it. Okay. So knowing that, back to our story. This fellow pledged bread for the Toida. He says, look, I'm leaving it up to myself, either chametz or matzah, and he shows up with seer, which is neither chametz nor matzah. So what's the status? Seer deman. Whose seer are we talking about? What level of seer? Is seer de Rameir? Are we speaking about Rameir's type of seer, which is the hichsif of panav, the pale, dough? Well, Rabbi Yehuda, if the question is here posed according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not an issue. To begin with, matzah ma'al yusri, that's perfect matzah contribute. That's a non-issue. Okay, so that's not really pertinent. Either Rabbi Yehuda or Rameir, are we speaking about Rabbi Yehuda's definition of seer? The dough that has those lines running through it. Now, according to who are we asking here? Whose opinion are we discussing? The Rameir, according to Rameir, chametzu. According to Rameir, it's true chametz. So there's no question as to what it is. It's real chametz. Next option, vidur Rameir, l'Rameir. Okay, perhaps we're speaking about Rameir's seer, the pale dough, and the question is posed according to Rameir, how to treat it. Well, again, it's not a question. Midilaki alei chametzu, the fact that Rameir considers him liable to malchus upon eating it, apparently it is somewhat categorized as chametz. It's not full chametz, it's not complete chametz, there's no karis upon eating it, but there's malchus. Apparently it's already categorized as chametz. So why is there no karis? Rashi says, because ultimately it's not edible. And karis only applies to real edible chametz. But in terms of its label, in terms of its category, it's chametz. So back to our story. When he brings lach mitoida, made of this material, of course, he has fulfilled his obligation. He brought chametz. So that can't be the question. Ella, rather, the only option would be like this. Ella de Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about Rabbi Yehuda's type of seer, what he calls seer, the dough that developed, these lines running across it, and lit Rabbi Yehuda. We're addressing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So according to him, it's seer, but there's no malchus. My. How are we meant to understand his opinion? Sveika havya. Is the reason why there's no malchus? Because it's undefined, we're not sure. Is it really chametz free? Or is it somewhat chametz? And since we're not sure, we can't give him malchus. So back to our story. When you offer this material, either way, he's good. For nafik, he has fulfilled his obligation. Mimanovshach, either way. Look, he committed to either chametz or matzah. Well, this is one or the other. We're just not sure, but inherently it's one or the other. Or you can say, no. There's no suffix. It's inherently undefinable. It's a new entity. Briyahu. And therefore, well enough, you can't fulfill your obligation because you promised chametz or matzah. This is nor this nor that. asks the Gemara, hold it, before we get involved in all these definitions, what did this fellow pledge? Breads for a toida. Now, either way, he has to bring a full package now. He can't just suffice with these 10 breads. V'amar Rav Huna teaches us, ha'imar harei lai lachmi toida. The person gets up and declares, I'm going to bring lachmi toida. You can't just stop there. Maybe toida v'lachma. You can't just suffice with bringing breads. It triggers a whole package. The whole toida of the animal with the 40 breads. And once he has to do that, this whole question is not really relevant. Why? Because the chayv le'betoida v'lachma, once he has to bring the full toida and the full lechem, the full package, an animal with 40 breads, 30 of which are matzah, 10 are chametz, so these 10 breads are not going to help him. Why? Because hala yada haygava, this man has no clue what these 10 breads are, right? It could be one or the other, right? Let's say, granted. But that's good when he stops there. So he says, okay, I'm done. But when he has to complete the package, he doesn't know what to complete it with. He doesn't know, ichametsu is what I brought chametz, is it categorized as chametz, in which case I have to complete the matzah package, the lacy matzah. Maybe no, maybe this is matzah and I have to complete the chametz. Either way, I have to bring chametz and matzah, but it's not going to help him. Since he doesn't know what this is, he doesn't know what else he has to bring with it. So he has to start fresh, has to bring a whole new package now. Imatzu, is this matzah the lacy chametz, which would require him to bring more chametz to complement the package? So since he's in a perpetual state of uncertainty, it's not going to help him. He's going to have to start new, fresh, with a whole new package. So what's the point of this whole discussion? Letzricha de Omar must be that he said, Arei alai chala, lifter to dasa shal ploini. He didn't say, I'm bringing lach mitoide, which, as we said, triggers a whole package. He says, clearly, I'm going to bring challah to exempt somebody else's toida. I know somebody else needs to bring a toida, and, you know, I'm going to donate his bread. Well, again, the same question. So if ultimately the guy has no, he doesn't know what this is, he doesn't know what he's contributing, he doesn't know what the person can deduct from his package. So if hello yada haygarva, this man has no idea, ichametsu, whether this is now chametz, the laisi matzah. You know, the person bringing the karma has no idea what he's getting from his friend. Is he getting chametz, the laisi matzah, which would necessitate bringing, you know, the rest of the matzah part and deducting the chametz, because that he has. E matzah, whether what he's being gifted by his friend is really matzah, the lacy chametz, which requires him to bring along the rest as chametz. So again, it's not going to help him much. He can't deduct anything since he doesn't know what this is. Like tzricha must be the le'amar lifter. He didn't say the word lifter. I'm exempting my friend. I'm promising to bring bread for my friend's karban. Okay, so his friend won't really benefit much from it, because either way he has to bring a full package since he can't define what this is. But the question is, Reuben, who's donating the bread, has he done his job or not? Meipak gavra, to fulfill the man to fulfill the nidra, his pledge. That's the question. Nafik, has he fulfilled or nafik or not? Take it, we leave it unresolved. Okay, so bottom line is, we have three questions posed by Rabbi Zera on the same theme, regarding a fellow who donated and he brought something which is transitional, something which is sort of, you know, in between, whether it's the yellow birds, the palgas animal, or the seir, which we haven't really resolved at this point. Continues the Mishnah. Okay, keeping on this, marching along on this track of presenting all kinds of contrasting equations, right? Davari fuchai, two sides of the coins, like we have the shchita versus the malika. We have the Torim, which have to be the older ones, the Bnei Yin have to be the younger ones. Here comes another example, also relating to Karbonites, which is Paraduma and Egla Rufa. And we find this contrast between the two. Kasher Bepara, the process that is applied to Paraduma, namely Shechita, Pasuk Egla, is not fitting for the Egla Rufa, which has to be beheaded, a whole different system. And vice versa, Kasher Be'egla, the process that is applied to Egla Rufa, when you know to behead the calf upon discovering a victim on the road, pasul bepara, this process doesn't work for the paraduma, which needs to have a regular shechita. Tana Rabbanan comes a brisa which sources this contrast. Para b'shechita kshira, a para who underwent shechita, that's okay. Barifa psula, but if arifa was done to a paraduma, it's pasul. On the other hand, egla, the egla rufa, barifa kshira is okay, but if it's neraf. But b'shchita psula, shchita applied to agalarufa is possible. Nimsa, it turns out that they're exactly the opposite in this regard. Shchita, which is kasha b'para, possible b'agla. The arifa, which is kasha by the b'agla, is possible b'para. Ask the Gemara who says, but hey, perhaps para k'shera b'arifa, perhaps arifa can work for the para based on a kavachayim. What is the kavachayim? Uma eglo. Since the agalrufa shlo yuchshav b'shchita, which shchita is not fit for it, huchshav arifa works with arifa. Para aduma shehuchshav b'shchita, which shchita works. Ain't it then? Wouldn't you agree? Shehuchshav b'arifa, that arifa should also work. Continue to the next amud. Amakro, we have a pasuk by the para aduma, which limits it to shchita only. Amakro b'shachat, the pasuk says b'shachat oisa lefanav. And then it says, Zois Chukas HaTorah. Right? The parasha begins with Chukah. And Chukah means absolute. No leeway. V'shachat v'chukah. To teach us, b'shchita in. Shchita works, but only shchita barifa, like that doesn't work. Ask the Gemara, really? So Chukah always means with absoluteness. Whenever we have the word chayk, chukah, chukah asoylam, we can't apply a kavachaymer. Let's take a look at Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur, it says chukah, it says the chukah asoylam. But Tanya, we have a brisa which suggests some sort of leeway there. But Tanya vaso chatas. So this is regarding the goyro. They make this lottery to designate the pair, right, the pair of goats, which one will be a chatas, which one will be sent out to the, you know, to Azazel, to the desert. And the pasuk says, Vasohu chatas. Only this manner of designation works to make it a chatas. Only the goyro. You can't just verbally express it and designate it like that. Hagoyro, oise chatas. Only the goyro system makes it a chatas. Vein Hashem, but merely calling out its name and declaring it as such, that doesn't make it oise chatas. And that's why we need a pasuk vaso chatas, only this way. Because otherwise, I would suggest, by way of a kavachaymer, that even verbal expression works. Shiyachal v'aledinu, based on a kavachaymer. Uma b'makim shalei kiddush ha-girl. Typically, when a person brings, you know, a pair of birds, chatas and oila, girl is not a system you can employ there to designate what's what. Still, despite girl not working, kiddush Hashem, verbal expression does designate it. Certainly on Yom Kippur, which allows for Goyrel, wouldn't you agree that the standard system of designation, verbal labeling, would work as well? Malkim Shekidish HaGoyrel on Yom Kippur, where Goyrel works, to be Mekadosh, the Karbanis. Ein Oidin Shekidish Hashem, wouldn't you agree that Shem would also work? Certainly, right? Tamar Leimar, that's why the Pasuk comes back and says, Vaso Chatas, to limit it. HaGoyrel, only that system, Oise Chatas, can make it into Chatas, Ein Hashem, but verbal designation cannot be Oise Chatas. Now, time of the Kasav Rachman of Asa Ochatas, clearly. It's only because of this extra pasuk of Asa Ochatas that we discount verbal designation. Halavachi, but otherwise, if not for that, Darshina Kavachayma, we would apply the Kavachayma to allow it. Despite it saying Chukah. Apparently, Chukah is not absolute. So back to our story. Why can't you do Arifa on the Paradum based on Kavachayma? Irrespective of Chukah. Says the more you write, we have a special pasuk in the Torah that rules it out. Miyat Rachmana Gabi Egla Ha'arufa. We have the word Ha'arufa by the Egla Rufa to tell you, Ha, only this one, Zois. Only this one can be processed by Rifa, Ve'ein Acheres by Rifa, as opposed to Paraduma that can't have a Rifa. Okay. Settled. Now let's go the other way. Shchita only works for Paraduma and not for Egla Rufa. Why? V'tei Egla Kshira Shchita. Perhaps Shchita can work for the Egla Rufa as well, based on Kavachaymer. Mi Kavachaymer from Paraduma. Uma Parah Shal Yuchshu Barifa. Since Arifa does not work for the Paraduma, still Kshira B'Shchita, Shchita applies to the Paraduma. Wouldn't you agree that Egla, the Egla Rufa, Shchira Arifa, that can have Arifa? In addition, wouldn't you agree, of course, Yuchshu B'Shchita, Shchita can certainly apply a Makra? The Torah comes back and repeats. After having told us that you do the Arifa, it says Va'ar for Egla. The repetition is telling us only this way and none other. Barifa in, only in the manner of Arifa. B'shchita loy, not through Shchita. Hence we know that Paraduma needs Shchita only, and Egla Rufa, Arifa only. All the best to you and Atzlacha.